This is the Total Home Comfort Show with Ongaro and Sons, part of the Ask the Expert series on KSRO. Now, the Total Home Comfort Show.
Welcome back to another episode of Total Home Comfort with Ongaro and Sons. My name is producer Jeff, and I'm joined in studio by our resident expert, our host, Anthony Ramelli, the general sales manager of Ongaro and Sons. How are we doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Glad to be back.
Lots to recap here. Super Bowl happened.
Yes, it did.
Did you enjoy your Super Bowl Sunday?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't do anything. I stayed home.
So. Yeah. It was one of my buddies told me, he goes, it didn't feel like the Super Bowl at all on that Sunday. And I was like, yeah, probably because it was two teams that nobody wanted to see in the Super Bowl.
Right. As a Raider fan, I didn't have a dog in the fight.
Yeah. It felt good watching the Patriots lose, though, right?
It always does.
Yes, it does. All right. And then Valentine's Day. We had a good Valentine's Day?
Absolutely. Took care of the missus and went out, had a good time.
Sparks?
Always.
All right. Now you see what I'm hinting at here, because we're going to be talking about winter electrical safety. So why do electrical issues spike during winter, even after the holidays are done?
So cold weather. Number one, November, December, you typically see the holidays. We got lights for Halloween, lights for Christmas. So you have a larger load on the house. People are using more of their electrical load, you know, more of their appliances. Typically, we're not outside barbecuing, right? It's cold. We're using more of the oven. Got an electric oven. You know, we're having a higher load on the house. Then you get to January, February. It's cold out. Once again, you start noticing people running heaters, space heaters. They're just you're in the house more during those cold winter months, and so you're typically using more.
It's kind of like the same thing with like a furnace, right? Like it's going to get you, like we talked about in previous episodes, where it's going to get a lot more play during the darker, colder times just because that's when you're using it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. How do space heaters impact circuits and breaker panels? And I'm personally interested in this because selfishly, the house that I live in Sevastopol, I'm living with a buddy of mine, but it doesn't have a heater vent in my room. So I have to use a space heater. So this is actually great. Just how dangerous am I living right now with a space heater on in my room?
So when I say dangerous, right, they're not dangerous, but they space heaters are huge energy hogs.
Yeah.
You plug them in, they're not very efficient. I mean, you turn them on, right, and it's just a coil that's heating up, right, and just producing heat. If you got older homes, right, they tend to sometimes overload circuits, or, you know, you got a space heater plugged in, and then all of a sudden you go flip on a light or plug in an iPhone charger and, you know, pop the circuit breaker. So space heaters, they're just, like I said, they're great for heating, but they're horrible for, you know, electrical, you know, efficiency.
So I'm killing the house. I'm killing the house's power grid.
Yeah, yeah, you are definitely, there's smarter ways to heat your home and more efficient ways.
Damn. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, what causes breakers to trip more often during winter months?
It's heat. So that's what the job of the breaker. It protects the wire that's connected to all those plugins. And so if that wire starts to get too hot, because that's what is the worst enemy of electricity, right? Electricity produces heat, you know, it gets warm, and then the breaker will trip. So a lot of times what you'll see, you plug in a space heater, you have a whole bunch of other things plugged in on that circuit, and you start to pull too much power, amperage, then that wire can handle. It gets too hot, that breaker will trip. So during the winter months, that's when I said we have people that'll, you know, plugging in multiple space heaters, blow dryers, hair dryers, microwaves running, and then breaker starts tripping. And that's, you know, that's the job of the breaker. It's protecting the wire from overheating.
Yeah. So, and is there typically only one breaker in the house, or is there multiples? Because, like, let's say I've got a space heater plugged into this outlet over on this side of the wall, but then I've got another space heater plugged into a room that shares an adjacent wall with an outlet in there. Like, what, explain to me what stress am I putting on the house?
Right. So every house usually has a main panel.
Okay.
And then from that main panel, you can have what's called a sub panel that feeds off of it. In that main panel, you can have anywhere, you know, from 5 to 20 different circuits, breakers on there. So just because you have one space heater plugged in one bedroom, you can then go plug one in the kitchen. Those can be two separate circuits.
Okay.
So you can have them both running, no issue. But then, you know, you plug in the microwave turns on, and that maybe just trips that breaker in the kitchen, but the space heater in the bathroom or bedroom's totally fine. Totally different circuits. So you can have, you know, 10, 20 different breakers on your panel.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And is it good to have that many breakers? Like, is the more the merrier, or is it one of those things where it's just kind of like it depends on how much stress you're trying to put on the house?
Yeah, it just depends on how much load is into the house. You know, customers that have electrical vehicles, right, they're going to have a breaker for the EV.
Mm-hmm.
If you got solar, there's a breaker for solar. And then you got a hot tub, there's a breaker for your hot tub. So
we were two for two up until the hot tub. My buddy's got a Tesla, and then he also got solar installed. So I was like, all right, what are we checking off here at the house?
Right. And so you can, I shouldn't say you can never have two too many, but as long as like an electrical load evaluation is done, you can usually have two not enough circuits. We'll see that sometimes where people are adding loads to the panel when the panel can't actually handle it. Okay. So, but yeah, you can never really have like too many.
All right. So I just want to take a quick second here to highlight the full range of electrical services that Ungaro and Sons offers here. We got things like ceiling fans, circuit breaker installation, what we were just talking about, electrical panel upgrades. How often do you guys find that you have to upgrade people's systems?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. We talked about in a previous episode, sometimes certain pockets, little cities or areas have, you know, these older homes. And so we'll deal with that where we'll get a whole entire like subdivision where it's a, you know, the panels that are kind of non-UL listed that are on the watch list, Zinsco, Sylvania, and Federal Pacific will, you know, come to a subdivision with 80 homes that all have those panels, which are no longer recognized by the insurance. And so, like, we can't add loads to them. So, yeah, sometimes we're switching out panels every single day.
Okay. And how long does that usually take, like, that job?
We're at the mercy of PG&E. There's certain criteria. Yeah. So sometimes we can be in and out the next day, no problem. It also depends on the scope of work. If we're increasing the house from like 100 amp, like main to 125 or like 200, depending if it's overhead utilities or underground utilities, all these go into the variable of when PG&E gets involved and the red tape on it. So we have some customers that have to wait 12 to 18 months to replace a panel.
Oh,
we have some customers are out the next week. So it's really kind of depends on the homeowner and the situation they're in.
And the bureaucrats, the suits. all right. So energy audits, what are those? Is that just basically going through and just pointing out, hey, this is where you're using a bunch of energy. This is where you can kind of curb your usage.
Yeah, correct. Like we'll have one of our electricians come in and they'll go through and evaluate the house. They'll actually have a form we call like an electrical load evaluation. Well, they'll go in and they'll add up all of the low voltage, like anything that's 120 volts lower, and then anything that's higher, that's 220. And they'll put it into a formula and then they'll look and see exactly like how much power your house is pulling. Can your panel currently handle it? We use this like if someone goes, oh, I just bought a Tesla, I want to add, you know, the EV charger, we'll do an electrical load evaluation. Like, can your house handle it? If it can, that's when we add another circuit, add the breaker. If it can't, that's when we get into, can we consolidate breakers? Can we put load shedding devices, or do we have to upgrade the whole panel? And like I said, sometimes that can take a while.
Yeah. So that kind of answered my next thing that I was going to highlight here with the EV charging stations. Curious, when in the energy audits, are you guys able to even track when the most energy is being used throughout a certain portion of the day? Because I know PG&E does things for like surge pricing where it's like, hey, or, you know, like restricted power use. Like for ours, it's between, I want to say 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. at night. Like if we use that, like we're getting hit at a higher clip. Like, will that, can you guys have a system to tell me when I'm using the most power so I can change my usage habits?
So not on the initial visit, unless the customer has a spam panel, which is a smart panel installed. So we install the spam panel and then the customer can download the spam app and they have the ability to monitor all their usage. They can look at when they're pulling their power at what times and match that up with their tier rating through PG&E.
Indoor, outdoor lighting, that seems to be pretty straightforward. Are you guys finding that you probably more indoor lighting projects during the wintertime and outdoor lighting projects during the summertime? Because, again, people are in and out at those times.
Yeah, exactly. The only time outdoor, sometimes before winter, is when customers want Christmas tree plugs, right?
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the husband or wife goes, hey, I always want an outlet up here by the roof. So when I'm on the roof, I can just plug it in and then we can run it to a switch in the garage. So now you can just turn on the switch and turn on all your lights. That's what I have in my house.
Yeah, I think my dad did the same thing actually at my parents' house where he just got tired of messing around with the he used a little bit more colorful language when he's describing the Christmas lights, but he wanted to ease that up.
If you don't have that, then you typically have the house that has the 14 extension cords all ran out through everywhere and all plugged in, daisy chained off each other.
It's actually really funny you bring that up, because why are extension cords and power strips riskier in the wintertime?
Because if they're outside, they can get wet, they can get damaged. You know, if you got an extension cord that's just ran and daisy chained in there, if you get water in there, you're probably gonna pop your breaker.
When you say daisy chain, do you just mean plugged in for just plug as it goes along?
Yeah. Sometimes you'll see someone had, you know, they needed a 20-foot extension cord and they had two 10s. So they plug in into each other to make it longer.
Oh, okay.
I was guilty of that this year. and then it's funny that you're talking about this, is I had this happen where I had a extension cord that then had three outlets on it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the outlets ran to these little deer that I had lit up in my front yard, but it got water in there. And so when I would plug that in, it would trip the breaker and all my other lights would go out. And I'm like, man, what is going on? And it took me a while to figure out that one plug was getting water in it, and it was just tripping the breaker.
Screwing up the campaign. Like it.
Had to call one of our electricians. He's like, seriously? I'm like, yeah, I need your help.
So would that be falling under the full range of electrical services, say like light switches and light fixtures? Would that count for that?
Absolutely. Light fixtures, light switches. Anything you're plugging into. We can check. We can look at the wire, look behind it. Like I said, look at the panel. Yeah, it's the whole scope.
All right, we got to go to a quick commercial break, but you are listening to Total Home Comfort with Ungaro and Sons on KSRO with our host, Anthony Ramelli, the general sales manager from Ungaro and Sons, answering all winter electrical safety questions, concerns, and we'll get back to more questions right after this break.
This is the Total Home Comfort Show with Ungaro and Sons, part of the Ask the Expert series on KSRO. Now, the Total Home Comfort Show.
And we're back on Total Home Comfort with Ungaro and Sons here on KSRO. My name is producer Jeff, and I am joined in studio by our host and resident expert, Anthony Ramelli, the general sales manager of Ungaro and Sons. Anthony. We were talking winter electrical safety before the break, and judging by this checklist I have here, the next one we got to talk about, smoke detectors and carbon monoxide alarms.
Yes, extremely important.
They're right. For real. Very for real. Important. Yeah, I mean, right, carbon monoxide, just as much as smoke detectors. I actually had a friend this weekend that I was on FaceTime with that was having a smoke detector issue herself, so that was pretty fun to sit back and watch. Yeah. What do you guys do when it comes to smoke detectors and carbon monoxide alarms?
Full range of work, right? We mm-hmm. can install new ones, replace batteries, just come and check them, whatever the customer needs. Also, a lot of the times, a lot of the projects that we're doing, whether it's plumbing or electrical or solar or HVAC, the inspectors now are requiring that they want to be able to see that you have smoke and CO detectors. So a lot of the time we're having to come in, and it could just be a simple, hey, we just put a furnace in the garage, but now we need to install updated smoke and CO detectors per the code, per the county.
Okay. And so, I mean, I think it's pretty standard that most homes come with the smoke detectors. Are you finding that a lot of older homes don't have carbon monoxide alarms or detectors? Like, you have to install those yourselves? Because that wasn't something that was thought of back when those right. houses were being built.
Exactly. Yeah. And also what we're seeing now is they don't want the just the normal battery powered ones. They want the one that has the 10-year life. With maybe a battery backup mm-hmm. For smoke. CO sometimes can just plug it in into an outlet or and have a battery backup. But they're really, you know, really pushing for like the 2-in-1s, so the smoke and COs that have the 10-year battery. You turn it on, and when it beeps, it gets replaced. It doesn't, you don't change a battery. And so they're really trying to make sure that, you know, everyone's house is safe from any type of smoke or CO.
Nice of them.
Yeah.
So, and then the newest baby, right, to Ungaro and Sons, the lineup, the solar energy. So mm-hmm. what are we doing as far as solar goes? The whole kit and caboodle? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Full solar, right? We can install it on the roof, install it maybe in the backyard. We call it like a solar array. With our solar panels, you can pair those with batteries so we can give you some type of backup battery power.
Okay, and now's where I'm seeing whole home stuff, like mm-hmm. whole home protection, whole home rewiring, whole house generators. When does a home and the whole home need to be rewired, and why?
It's going to be based off the age of the home. Some of these houses, and this is a term that sometimes people hear, is called knob and tube wiring. Knob and tube wiring is not the safest wiring to have in your house. All right. Right. To all put right. that nicely.
It was a different time back then.
Right, it was, exactly. It was a totally different time. You could smoke on an airplane, right? So you do the knob and tube wiring. And so nowadays people, and they want that out of their house. So mm-hmm. we can come in and literally rewire the whole home. That's typically going to be done, like I said, A, you have an older house with older wiring, or B, maybe you had it done previously and it's, you know, wasn't wired correctly, or they used, you know, not the right gauge wire, and then we had to go in and redo it.
Okay. And then the whole house generators. So mm-hmm. You hear a lot of talk about generators now, right. especially with the fires and natural disasters that we've been having in Northern California, and how the public safety power shutoffs, you know, people with the generators. Right. What are we seeing there from Ungaro and Sons?
Yeah, so definitely after 2017, this became huge in our market here, mm-hmm. where, you know, we're now PG&E's being proactive on if they, you know, pre-planned power outage, right? They kill the power. So generators, right? We can install a whole home generator. We install it. We run a gas line to it. and power goes out, and we can set it up to be seamless. You don't have to go out. You don't have to flip a switch. Your generator kicks on, and you know, you get a little bit of a light flicker, and that's it. It's off and it's running. That is going to run and give you unlimited power, and you're using it just like, you know, you're running all your appliances, everything in your house, like it's a normal day. As long as gas is going to it, you're good to go. The other thing we can do is, we talked about the solar, is we can also, with solar, we can pair you with backup batteries. You don't have to have solar to have the backup batteries. You can just install them. But the backup batteries, same thing, power goes out. And then based off the size of your house and your electrical load, we can size your batteries to give you power for, you know, 5 hours or 5 days. Just depends on how many batteries and how many kilowatt hours you want. So power goes out, once again, batteries take over right away. If you do have solar and you pair it with your backup batteries, what's really cool is the power can be out, but sun comes out in the morning, the solar panels will still recharge your battery.
Really?
So yes, even if you deplete it at night, okay, and you're like, oh, I lost power. Even if the power's out for the whole entire block, next morning, sun comes out, that solar will start recharging that battery, and then there you go. You'll get a couple more hours.
That's pretty sick.
It is pretty cool. Yeah.
I was speaking with Anthony Romelli, the general sales manager of Ungaro & Sons, the resident expert here when it comes to winter electrical safety. Let's get back to these questions here. We'll test that expert knowledge. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a nuisance breaker trip and a serious problem?
So nuisance breaker is when, I would say, like, you actively know you're kind of overloading it. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, yeah, I know every time I have my space heater plugged in and I plug in my hair dryer and the lights are on and I hit the hair dryer, my breaker's going to trip. That's not because the breaker is faulty or having an issue. It's we are, you know, knowingly overloading it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right, there's that. The other one, serious problem, is you don't have all those loads plugged in and the breaker trips and you go to reset it, and A, you have to reset it multiple times throughout the day or the week, or B, sometimes you can't reset the breaker, you can't turn it back to the on position. That's going to be a serious problem.
So we've kind of hinted at it, that space heaters probably be, you know, the number one problem here, but yeah. What other appliances tend to push circuits over the limit?
Space heaters, warm blankets, sound kind of the same thing.
Yeah, heated blankets, huh?
Yeah, my wife has a heated robe that she can plug in.
Oh my.
Yeah, so.
All right.
You know, kind of the common denominator here is kind of that heated thing. So space heater, hair dryer, anything that's kind of like a standalone system. Even sometimes people have like indoor air purification systems. They plug them in and then they go to just use a hair dryer or something else, and once again they overload that circuit.
It sounds like stuff that's not running all the time, but that when you go to plug it in and the energy that it demands is so high.
You're right.
And for such a short burst of time that like a pulling a hamstring or tearing a muscle,
yeah,
almost, you know. Okay, what should homeowners do if outlets feel warm or lights begin to flicker?
So definitely call an electrician. Mm-hmm. If you don't have one, call Ungaro & Sons.
Yeah.
We'll come and take care of you. But yeah, if you got a warm outlet, that's not good. They shouldn't be warm. I know I said in the first segment is, you know, power, electricity does, you know, generate heat, but a warm to touch outlet, that's a red flag. You should call, because that means something's going on. That wire's overheating. Maybe the breaker isn't tripping. I know I talked about there's some main panels that are no longer allowed, like Zinsco and Sylvania. I believe the data is 40% of Zinsco breakers don't actually trip, and that's what's wrong with them. They were made with like an aluminum bus bar, and this was like dates all the way back to World War II. There was a shortage of like materials, and so they allowed these, you know, panels and breakers to be made with a lesser material. So they used like aluminum, so sometimes those breakers won't trip. And like I said, that's protecting the wire. So you got a warm outlet, maybe your breaker's not tripping, and that's a huge problem.
Yeah, again, it was a simpler time back then.
Right, exactly, right.
Okay, and that's a reminder that do not stick your fingers in any outlets, just touch the panel around the outlet, correct?
Right, correct.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I mean, you'll know, like, you go to plug something in, you're like, wow, this outlet's warm.
Mm-hmm.
Probably unplug it and give us a call.
Okay, all right. How do loose electrical connections become fire hazards over time? Because you'd think that the looser the connection, that there's less, you know, less chance of it jumping or breaking free, I guess, is kind of how I'm trying to articulate that.
Yeah, so it's arcing, right?
Okay.
If it's, you go to plug in, you go to plug out, like, I know, like, the biggest contributor to this is vacuum's plugged in, you're running the vacuum, and instead of walking over and grabbing the power cord and pulling it out, you know, you grab it from, like, 10 feet away and you just pull the cord, and that can start to actually like bend the outlet because, you know, you got prongs in there.
Yeah.
So that over time is you start to pull apart the wire that's going to the back of it, and it's touching but slightly, so then it can start to arc.
Okay.
It starts to arc. Arcing is a spark. Sparks can lead to fires, unfortunately.
All right, Anthony, we just got a couple minutes left here. What preventative checks can reduce winter electrical problems?
So right now we have a $49 electrical safety check. Customers can give us a call. We send out one of our electricians. They're going to go through. They're going to check everything we just kind of spoke about. Every plug, every outlet, every switch, smoke detector, CO detectors, look at your panels, and just kind of let you know where everything is with your house when it comes to the electrical usage.
You said that was $49?
Yeah, $49 comes with a free USB outlet as well.
Okay. Any other specials going on that you might have forgotten about or slipped your mind?
Yeah, so we were talking about batteries and backup power, and we actually have a buy one, get one free on a whole home battery backup right now.
Oh, okay. What comes in that?
So you'll get the battery, you'll get the combiner, the controller, so you can download the app, and then it just comes with a second free battery.
Awesome. All right. Well, Anthony, thank you very much for taking the time to sit down and speak with me on this episode of Winter Electrical Safety Tips with Ungaro & Sons. That is Anthony Bromelli, the General Sales Manager at Ungaro & Sons. My name is Producer Jeff, and we will talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Total Home Comfort Show with Ungaro & Sons, part of the Ask the Experts series on KSRO.